God is the Word. He's the spiritual Word. When you get to where you don't listen to the preacher, now you say, but Brother Pike, we listen to the preacher. No, I'm speaking of listening with an ear to hear. They listen to Jesus as far as natural hearing, but the Lord said, having ears, you can't hear. He said, having eyes, you can't see. Now he said, listen, any time you should hear with your ears, see with your eyes and convert, and I would heal you. Did you know a preacher can't preach to you unless you draw the Spirit? How many of you know that that's true? There ain't a living preacher that can do it. Now, I can get up here and run and jump and drag the cart around. I've done that. I have jumped up and down until I broke the platform in. I wasn't as big as I am now. Just a poor platform. But I have. I see the thing break, slap through, jumping up and down. But I don't have anything to do with it. Like Brother Branham said one time, he said, I got a gift. He said, but it won't work unless you draw it. Why? Because God is the same in Brother Branham's life. He's the same in my life. He's the same in every preacher's life. A little woman got close to Jesus. She drawed the verge and something happened. There is no way to get anything unless you draw it. The Bible said that he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive the prophet's reward. Whatever he's got to give you, you can have it. Peter said, such as I have, give I to you if you look on me and believe in what I'm saying. But everything that God's got that he's put on the inside, it's the whole kingdom full. All you've got to do is to draw it. But you can't draw it if you're not hungry and thirsty. There's no way. How can a person want food? I don't care what kind of meal you put before them. If they're a slap filled up with a husk that's out of the hog pen, I don't care whether you fill up on black-eyed peas or whatever you fill up on. When you get full, you're full. And you could pass steak before a full person. Brother Darrell, I'd eat cornbread and be full, and they bring steak, it didn't even look good to me. Because you're full. Is that right? Jesus said, hi, all you that are full. Your misery shall come upon you. See, there's no hunger, there's no thirst. The Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. A person that goes around saying, oh my God, I don't mean in your head, but in your heart. Go around saying, oh my God, I got to know more about the Word. I got to do something, Lord. The end of the world's coming. I got to win some souls. And in the daytime, you find him on his knees. Or at night, you find him on his knees. Or you find him fasting or trying to study the Word or trying to learn something. That person is hungry, and that person will draw something. I've been before congregations many times in my life and wouldn't be able to give them nothing. I've walked off of the platform, have one hungry soul meet me, and feed him all night long till the break of day. I've had such instances in my life. God would feed him all night long. Well, you say, Brother Pike, what it was, he was before a lot of people that already knew, and he didn't know anything. I have had men that you could, today, they're geniuses. I would say that they're geniuses today. I've had men that probably know 10 times over what some of you know, and they would sit all night long, starve for what we were saying, and listen all night long and draw until I'd be weak the next morning. See, folks, God is cutting you off, and you don't have enough spiritual reasoning to see it. He is cutting you off just exactly like he did the Jews because you don't have any hunger and any thirsting after the things of God. You're too melancholy and you're too self-centered, too interested in the natural side of life. Don't have no time for God. No time to do anything for God. Always natural-minded. And the Bible said to be carnally-minded is death. It's a death. When you get in the carnal mind, the Spirit of God's gone. You're cut off. You're cut off. I want to read just a little bit to you from the book of Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and I want you to listen. I started a teaching here to go through Revelation, the book of Revelation, and I never felt enough hunger, enough thirst, enough drawing to even get the anointing to come down to where I could do anything for you. But I want to read this little bit over in the 13th chapter of the book of Corinthians. Chapter 13, it says, This is the third time I am coming to you. I want you to listen to this. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent, now I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all others that if I come again, I will not spare. Now, here is the loving Apostle Paul, the one that's so sweet and kind, loving, that said serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness, said we ought to be tender, kind, and loving. I want you to listen. He said, shall I come unto you with a whip, or shall I come unto you in the spirit of meekness? The third time I am come again, I will not spare. Somebody said, now isn't he puffed up? Now, who does he think he is? He's going to come to us and he's not going to spare us. What can he do to us? What can a preacher do to us? What can a preacher do to us? Somebody said, aha! He's not going to spare us. He's going to come to us. What can he do to us? He can do this to you. He can bind your sins that you won't make it into heaven. He can loose your sins that you can make it into heaven. He can bring a blessing upon you. The Bible said whoever he blesses will be blessed. He can bring a curse upon you, for the Bible said whoever he cursed shall be cursed. Is that right? The Bible said he can turn you over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. The Bible said, seeing that he is the minister of God, will ye not be afraid for conscience' sake, seeing that he is set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. That's why he said he wouldn't spare. Just like when Peter turned around over on one occasion, and he turned to this fellow and he said, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity, and your heart is not right with God. He said, pray for the forgiveness of your heart, thoughts of your heart. He turned to another, he said, O child of the devil, full of all unrighteousness, thou shalt be blind for a season. And blindness fell on him. He turned to two more and he said, why did Satan put in your heart to lie? And the Bible said immediately they fell dead. Paul said, I will not spare. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, what are you going to do about it? You got some wandering around out yonder now that wouldn't listen. I had to pray a different kind of prayer for him. I had to pray a different kind of prayer for him, because I couldn't pray the prayer I wanted to pray for him. I had to pray a different kind of prayer. And tonight they're wandering around out yonder in a spiritual prison, and they can't get out. Because the Bible said, deliver or agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way, lest at any time he should deliver thee unto the judge to the jailer. The jailer put thee in prison, and then you'll not come out till you pay the uttermost farthing. Paul said, I'm coming to you for the third time. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, he said, this will be sufficient. Whatever happens this time, he said, it'll be God. All right? I have so many times spoke to one or two, three, I don't know just how many, ladies that we got here in the congregation. Evil spirits work on you. And I told you to get rid of them, but you don't do it, do you? You don't do it. You come back night after night, and not only do you not do it, but you come back and try to grin over it or be pleasant toward me over it when it doesn't have anything to do with your nature and your condition. Don't you know that you can't cover things like that up? The Bible said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall prosper. You say, but I've confessed my sins. I know I've seen you come up here. I've laid hands on you. I've seen you come up here and confess your sins. I've seen you do it, confess with tears like Esau did, but I still never seen you find the place of repentance. I still never seen you confess, or rather forsake what you had confessed. I didn't see you do it. What's wrong? Something's bound to be wrong. Paul said, the third time I come to you, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you it is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Now, I want you to listen. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? The Bible said, because ye have not a love for the truth. I come to you, and I try to tell you the truth, and I try to preach the truth to you, and I try to exhort you concerning the truth, and I come to you with the truth, and I try to tell you the truth, but somehow there's a resentment. There is a lack of thirst, a lack of hunger, a lack of desire for it. I come to you telling you the truth, but you don't have any desire, any ambition for the truth. And the Bible said, because there is no love for God's Word, because there's no hunger for God's Word, no thirst for God's Word, no vision, no ambition, no desire for God's way, I will lift my spirit from you. I will take my hand off of you. I'll turn you over to your own way of thinking, your own desires, let you figure it out in your own mind. I'll turn you over to the carnal side of life, a reprobate mind that will be reprobate to every good work, no matter what good thing God does or anything that good that anybody does, you'll find fault with it. God said, I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind, let you believe what you want to, let you believe a lie, and let you be damned. Jesus said, I'll do it. Paul said, prove yourself, see if you're in the faith. You say, but Brother Pike, I believe, but what do you believe? I'm talking about believing the Word. Do you believe God? Do you believe the Word? Do you believe what the preacher's trying to tell you? What do you believe? He said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith that cometh by the hearing of the Word. See if your confidence and faith and understanding and desire is in God's Word, he said. Lest ye be a bunch of reprobates. See if Christ is in you. In the fifth verse, he said, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear proved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Now, Paul is having a little bit of chiding here. He's trying to reason with the people, and he's trying to tell these people that though you look on us as being reprobates, he said it's not us that's reprobate, he said it's you that's reprobates. To every good work. And though we appear as reprobates unto you, Paul said we are not, but he said, let me tell you something to help you, to keep you from evil and keep you from the things of the world. Is that right? For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we wish even your perfection. A lot of folks say, well, Brother Pike, you can't live perfect. God is never going to make us perfect. Nobody's perfect. But nevertheless, in spite of all of that, he said, we wish this even your perfection. And Hebrews said, let us go on to perfection. There must be something to it, or he wouldn't have said it. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness. How many know what sharpness is? I write these things to you, Paul said. I'd rather write you a letter about it. He said, because if I'm with you, I'm not going to preach to you the way that you want me to preach to you. For though I be rude in speech, I'm not in my understanding, he said. I'm not in knowledge. And if I come to you, he said, then I'll have to use sharpness towards you. And he said, in one place, if I make you sad, who's going to make me happy? Lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification, not to destruction. sharpness I use, it'll be for your edification, Paul said, not to destroy you, but it'll be for your edification. But I'll still have to do it. Whether you want me to or not, I'll still have to do it. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And holy kiss, all the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Now I want you to notice one thing. The last exhortation that he made to them, he said, be perfect. Be perfect. I would that you do no evil, but he said, be perfect. He said, for this is the third time I've come to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I perceive that I have been to you so many times until something spiritually is happening to you in your life. I perceive it's happening. Now, I warned the church, I told you, and even though you don't believe it, even though you can't get a hold of it, because you're not spiritual. You can't believe what I tell you because you're not spiritual. You try to reason it out as to whether I am telling you the truth or whether or not I know what I'm telling you or whether or not I've got the right to tell you. You just sit around and go like a machine up here. But I tell you again in the name of the Lord, I told you there was a certain time that this thing would reach when God would begin to sift and people would begin to drop out. You say, but we're still coming to church. That don't have anything to do with it. God can cut a person off and they can go for 10 years and never again, as long as they live, feel the Spirit of God. Never again, as long as they live, come in contact with the anointing. Never again. And be just as churchy as they ever was. Go to church, they can speak in tongues, they can shout, they can do anything they want to in church and still be lost and be damned and on their way to hell. Did you know that when a person can come to church and prophesy, speak in tongues, pray and dance and shout and do whatever it is to do in the church, and can still gossip, can still backbite, can still be a troublemaker, can still sit on the benches and resent, can still find fault with the church and with the preachers, did you know that they have a reprobate mind? Did you know that they're believing a lie and God has let them be damned? That they can do those things and they've seared their conscience with a hot iron and they still believe that everything's all right and they're on their way to heaven? They can have a fit, get upset, say things against their husband, say things against their wife, say things against their neighbor, against the church, against anybody. Always wanting to bring a curse on somebody. Always wanting to do something to hurt somebody. Because that person is bringing a just accusation or a just complaint or a just reward to them. That's holding the truth in unrighteousness. That is a reprobate mind and you're on your way to hell when you do it. Paul said, I come this time, the third time I come to you. I'm trying to tell you something. Folks, you're going to have to get hungry. You're going to have to get thirsty. I have had minister after minister to come here from abroad, and everyone that's come here has told me how that they love to preach in this pulpit, how that my people was hungry and thirsty, how that it just done something to them to get up here. And that was true. I said, that's true. But it's changing. It's changing. You're becoming different. Preachers don't want to preach to you. They're losing interest. They're losing desire. That's exactly what happened to the Jews. You say, well, why is that, Brother Pye? Have you checked up to see the last time you fasted? Have you checked up to see the last time you prayed? Have you checked up to see the last time you made a real sacrifice toward God and His kingdom? The last time you done something for some poor person, some needy person? Have you checked up to see what you've done as of late toward the building of the kingdom of God? Or what interest you've shown in the house of God or the things of God? Have you checked up to see? Somebody said, I know that I'm doing something. What are you doing? Well, I go to town every day. Well, what is that? Isn't that something? I go through all the stores. I come to church at night. I visit people. Now, what is that? You're here, there, and everywhere and nowhere. Doing everything and ain't doing nothing. Hearing everything and don't understand nothing. Seeing everything and haven't seen anything. All spiritually. You've done nothing spiritually, heard nothing spiritually, seen nothing spiritually, and you've wasted your time naturally. Now, there is some natural things that people can do that will bring spiritual benefits to people. I can naturally get in a natural car and drive a natural 100 miles to speak a spiritual word of comfort or prophecy to somebody. I can naturally work and make some natural money to buy some natural food and take it and naturally cook it on a natural stove and set it on a natural table to feed a hungry natural appetite, that I might be of service toward God in helping the kingdom of God through a spiritual means, because that's a needy person. Or I can just waste my time. The third time I come to you, Paul said, I'm just going to exhort you a little too. Exactly, let's exhort you a little. We have a double header tonight. But I warn you, I'm afraid for some of you, because you're getting colder and colder and colder and colder. You're getting colder and colder. I'm watching you just like a mother watches her children. And some of you are getting more disobedient instead of more obedient. You're getting more resentful instead of more loving and kind. You're getting less interested in the things of God and the house of God instead of more interested. You're becoming more melancholy every time something goes wrong or somebody hurts your feelings and pining away like an old hen sitting on a nest somewhere. You're finding fault more, gossiping more, rambling and going here and there more, doing nothing more. More and more and more of nothing. I'm getting afraid for you. You're not getting spiritual at all. You're not moving spiritually. Somebody said, well, Brother Parker, I guess that wrecks everything you plan. It don't bother it one bit. Your unbelief don't make the faith of God of none effect. As a matter of fact, it commends it. In the fact that you disbelieve, it magnifies the faith of God to make it more beautiful. What I have said through God, what I have done through God, will go right on without any trouble at all. The devil will try to hinder it. But it's just like yesterday, I believe it was. We got a translation back. I believe it's from Czechoslovakia. Is that the way it is? Czechoslovakia. I can't say it very good. But anyway, it's from the Czech people. From what place is it? Czechoslovakia. All right, it's from over there. Now, we got that back. It's come back. About five different tracks in that language. Tony wrote, said, Brother Pike, he done just exactly what I told my wife he'd do. Betty said, I got to admit, I doubt it. So I don't believe you'll ever hear from him, them kind of things. Two or three said that. Even Brother Floyd come and sat down and said, I've just got to make a confession. Said, I just thought it. He was just going to take you in and so forth. But I told him, I said, he won't do it. I said, because his spirit shows that he's not that type of person. Now, you can trust a man's spirit, not to know a man after the flesh. But he said, Brother Pike, to let you know that your faith have not been betrayed or misplaced in me, he said, here are some of the tracts. And he said, I had them ready by December, like I told you, but I couldn't get the corrections and different things straightened out on them. And said, I believe he said he got everything but the Hindu language. Is that right? He run into trouble on the Hindu language in India or wherever it was, and he asked for another track. Had to have another track, and we've got to send him another. Don't forget that, Brother Taylor. And he said that we would receive the rest of the translations in a chain reaction or sequence between now and March. And he said, I'm sending you the Russian language, the German language, the Hebrew language. He told me what all he had, the Finnish language and different languages. He said, I got them all. And said, I'm sending them to you. But said, I wanted to send these because I didn't negotiate with you properly right on the time that I promised you with that I would, even though I had it. He said, and I'm sending you these to let you know. He said, and I have, said, you can't know, in essence, how much time has been spent how precise we have gone through this, and said we have gone through it so thoroughly that two Swedish people almost tied up and fought, I believe he said. On the Swedish language, those people, they say, are temperamental, I think, anyway, and said they defined it down so close now to get every accent marked right that some of the translators got down to the hairline of it and was about to fight over it. But he said, we got it. And he said, we did it in such a way to capture every mood and every expression that you gave in those tracks through godliness. He said, in their rhyme. And he said, one other thing, Brother Pike. He said, when I want to come to Georgia. He said, I hope I can get a job. If you'll help me get some kind of employment, I want to come to Georgia. That's where I want to come to. So he wants to come out of college, and now he's changed his mind about being an international interpreter around through all the countries, though he's learned all those languages. God has captivated his heart, perhaps through some of those messages and studying. He said, I've got a mountain of paper I've got to go through here to get all this done, but you will get it. See, so I'm saying that to say this. We're going on, folks. By the help and grace of God, we're going on. Are you going with us? Brother Darrell says, yeah, he had a dream last night working with us. Said him and I was working together on a train, I believe he said. Well, the Bible said the train of the Lord filled the temple, the prophet did. That's a little different train. But anyway, we're going on. We're going on. And I want you to go. There's not a one of you that I wouldn't want to go with or want you to go with him. I love every one of you. I want you to go with me. But there's one thing about it. I can truthfully say one thing. You're not going unless you get spiritual and get interested in these services. Because if you can't show any spiritual concern, any spiritual hunger, the Bible said he who's faithful over a little be faithful over a lot. Is that right? And you first be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in your own hometown, then abroad to the end of the world. And Paul spoke of some people that their faith was spoken of throughout the world. Now, I perceive that I'll tell you this tonight, and you'll be so engrossed and wrapped up in natural things and natural desires that when you come together again here on the next service night, what I'm telling you now will be in the background, so for you'll be forgot about it, and you'll be just as carnal as ever. Watch and see if it don't happen. But I tell you one thing. If you're planning to do something, you better start being spiritual every day. Every day. 24 hours around the clock. Keep your mind on Jesus. Around the clock. Then when you come to church, you'll be right in there and you'll be spiritual. Otherwise, you won't. All right, let's stand together. I love you. I appreciate you. And I want to help you. And I'm not scolding you. Paul said we use sharpness. I'm not mocking you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Let's sing the little chorus, Oh How I Love Jesus. The Bible said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned, Jesus said. Do you believe what I'm telling you? Do you believe it? You say, Brother Pike, I believe it. James said, show me your faith by your actions. Show me your faith by your actions. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. You know, night before last, I was up here at about 1 o'clock or more, when I know that I ought not to have been here. Day or two before then, I was working on the light table. Every moment was a strain and an effort, because I couldn't get anybody in there to do it. I'm getting somebody now. Ralph has really learned. He's going to make a good layout man. Last night, I was up here at about 2 o'clock or more, when I know I ought not to have been here. And then after I left, I think Atlee, some of the brethren, one or two of them, stayed here. Stevie, you left when I left, didn't you? Steve and I left about, I don't know, about 2 o'clock, I guess. Might have been a little later. And then Brother Taylor and Brother Atlee Beachy stayed up here. David, myself, and the brother here left, and Brother Taylor And Brother Adler remained until about 4 o'clock this morning. Folks, what are you going to do in the day of the judgment? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Some of you, God can't even get you out of the bed at night to pray. I know that God speaks to some of you at night to get off of your bed and get on your knees to pray. And you're so sluggish and so sleepy-headed and so unconcerned spiritually, He can't even get you off your bed to get you down on your knees to pray at night. What are you going to do? And men staying up till well over the hours of the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. People seeking God and praying and fasting, hungering and thirsting. And you believe that God's going to take you to heaven. That's the same way the Jews were. They felt that God would do it because they were the Jews. They say, well, He's chosen us. But my friend, they were left. They were left. And you're going to be left. You're going to be left. You say, but Brother Pike, you don't know who I am. That has nothing to do with it. God is no respecter of human person. He don't care who you are. He's interested in one thing. Is the Son of God in your heart? Is the Son of God in your heart? Does He have preeminence in your heart? Who you are or what you think you are, that ain't worth the time you take to think it. That don't mean nothing to God. You're just another little pea in the pod, that's all. Just a little speck in the universe. Don't mean nothing. He wouldn't even notice you. That's the truth. God wouldn't even notice you. If there was 10 million people, I hope you can get this. If there was 10 million people standing out in a congregation and only one of them had Christ, the 10 million or whatever, less that one, God wouldn't even consider as much as rubbish. He'd shove them off into hell and take that one that's got His Son. You say, I don't believe it. He did it in the days of Noah. He did it in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. He did it in the day when they come out of the wilderness. He'll do it again today. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday to live river. You'd better get God in your heart. You better get Christ on your mind. You'd better get spiritual and get the Holy Ghost if you want God to notice you. Father, as we come to the close of another service, I pray, Lord, that what few feeble words of exhortation I have said to the people, may they register, may they give the more earnest heed to the things they've heard, Lord, lest by the next meeting time, Lord, or any other time, they would let these words slip and be in the same condition, Lord, again. The third time, Paul said, I come unto them, Lord. And I'm in remembrance of this tonight. The third time, I feel, God, You brought this to leave a witness unto these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell somebody you love them, come back and be with us.